other God but Jesus Christ. There is no other judge but Jesus Christ. There is no other way but Jesus Christ. You cannot escape Him. You cannot hide from Him. You cannot lie to Him. You cannot bribe Him. You cannot deceive Him. You cannot put any plans against Him and you think they're going to prosper.
侍だ。ユダヤというのは自分の正体を隠して背後から操ることを得てしている。決して表に顔を見せない侍の全く逆。侍というのは日本人の侍のことだけを言っているわけではない。どこ、世界各国にどこにも侍がいる。アメリカの歴史を見れば、独立戦争を戦った人々は侍だ。あるいは西部劇に出てきて銃を撃っていた連中も侍だ。当然アフリカの中にも侍がいるだ。だからこれから地上的には仕事が始まるわけだけども、地上的にユダヤを完全に屈服させるには世界中の侍が決起しなきゃいけない。彼らは恐れてる。例えば、
Never will I kiss that fucking wall. And Arthur Kwan Lee, in response to, just don't do Christ anymore. Don't paint Christ anymore. This is Arthur Kwan Lee's response to that.
I will only do this now. If you can't, you must.
Look at that. That is beautiful. By the way, ArthurKwanLee.com. Go to ArthurKwanLee.com. That would look great in this studio.That would look really great at my house, actually. Beautiful.
It's a striking icon painting right there.
It really is. I mean, look at that. That is just, it's like, wow. Stu, what are your thoughts on Brett Weinstein's Rescue the West rally in D.C. on September 29th? Weinstein.
Doesn't that say it all, my
friend?
Enough
said. Weinstein. All right.
Enough said.
Later, the Korean merchants and store owners who own that shopping complex, they're talking to me for a moment. They said they were fed up. They walked away. Next thing I knew, they walked out of their stores. Three of them were holding guns, and they just started firing at everybody and anybody. Some of this to you live earlier. Then what happened is apparently a car full of some young black kids pulled up on the other side and they started shooting back. You're going to start to see what they noticed what was going on. They started shooting back and we were right in the middle of it. It all happened so quickly. To tell you the truth, I thought they were blanks at first. I couldn't believe that these guys had actually pulled out loaded guns, but they were. There were bullets flying all over. And here you can see this is where they see the cars pull up and they start to shoot back. They start to take cover.Realizing, I think, what they had started there, but there's just a simmering point, and they boiled over. I saw it happen. I was talking to the gentleman. I saw it in his eyes. He ran away from me. I thought he was going to give me his business card. I had asked for an interview. Next thing I knew, as I say, he came out with those guns.
This is Magnus Hirschfeld, the first man to use the term transgender and the leading homosexual advocate of the 19th century, who argued homosexuality was an inborn and natural form of human sexuality that ought to be embraced. In 1919, he opened the Institute for Sexual Science, dedicated to campaigning for the spreading of pornography into schools and broadcasting homosexual propaganda films in Germany, highlighting cross-dressing and drag culture. Hirschfeld also was the first operator of sex change operations, brutally mutilating mentally ill patients and adding their genitalia to his personal collection of penis-enclosed jars around the world. In 1921, Hirschfeld teamed up with the most prominent and successful rabbis in Germany, including mega patron Karl Abraham, launching the World League of Sexual Reform. They held a systematic platform on brainwashing the upcoming generation of German youth through a masturbatory curriculum, with the written goal of making young German boys cheap prostitutes as a sign of cultural and sexual triumph. But in 1933, National Socialists took power in Germany, and on May 6, 100 students stormed the Institute of Sexual Science and destroyed his monument to degeneracy, permanently closing the building and burning his grand library of pornography he planned to showcase to the German youth. Immediately, there was a halt and disintegration of drag queens, sex change operations, and the pimping of starving children. All of this is to say, history is written by the winners, and more often used as a tool to conceal important patterns they don't want you to notice. And all of the hysterics and delusion on gender we see today has happened before. So the solution, therefore, might be the same. It may have to be thrown into the fire.
With all the sex distressing, the question I wonder is after death, after my last breath, when will I finally get to rest through this suppression? They punish the people that's asking questions and those that possess. Still from the ones without possessions, the message I stress. To make it stop, study your lessons, don't settle for less. Even the genius asks questions, be grateful for blessings. Don't ever change, keep your essence. The power is in the people and politics we address. Always do your best, don't let the pressure make you panic. And when you get stranded and things don't go the way you planned it, dreaming of riches, in a position to making a difference. Politicians and hypocrites, they don't want to listen. If I'm insane, the fame made a proper change. It wasn't nothing like the game, it's just me against the world.
This is Anton LaVey, the founder of the Satanic Temple formerly known as Howard Stanton LaVey, unapologetic Jewish Zionist who revered the protocols of the Elders of Zion, who vigorously worked with Zionist extremist organizations to smuggle weaponry into Israel whilst committing mass genocide onto innocent lives in Palestine. So much bloodshed, so much innocence raped and pillaged, all in the name of religious superiority over the Gentiles. Understand this man writing the Satanic Bible and having the co-sign of this very demonic tome by Asaph Dayan, the son of Israel's defense prime minister Moshe Dayan, is not just a coincidence, because there are two types of Satanism represented in the culture. First, we have the atheists LARPing and playing Dungeons and Dragons. This demographic is controlled opposition used to make crusaders like you and I laughably step back and jest. But there's a deeper, more unknown satanic spirituality that normalizes antinatalism, duplicitous sexual abnormalities, communism for the uninitiated, pedophilia, and the sacrificing of God's non-chosen cattle. And those practitioners worship at the altar of the synagogue of Satan. They lift their hands gallivanting towards the Tsar Remphan. With such sheer arrogance and entitlement just to mock good Christian families further into humiliation in their own country. Look, it's always good versus evil, heaven and hell, Christ and Lucifer, and Christianity against Satanism. And the true Satanic Temple, my friends, is not about red horns and a pitchfork. That's what they want you to believe. True Satanism is ideologically subverting the populace with perversion to sacrificially fund sin, evil, whilst at the same time, by the way, undermining the very identity of those said people. Because Talmudic Judaism is a stepping stone towards Satanism.
I was thinking about how everything that has happened to Germany before the Second World War in the early 1900s is happening to us now. And we're not allowed to talk about it. We're undergoing political, financial, and moral corruption through this Israeli mob who has successfully colonized our country by conquering every pivotal cultural pillar of influence here. From big tech, academia, Hollywood, entertainment, my industry, the fine arts sphere, real estate, and obviously banking. That's 6% of the U.S. population who rejects Christianity, running the infrastructure of 80 to 90% of the narrative. In the 1930s, Berlin was an absolute degenerate cesspool of boys in drag, being prostituted and castrated, spearheaded by Magnus Hirschfeld and the other psychologists behind the Institute of Sexual Sciences, which was bankrolled by the same Jewish mob that continues to peddle pornography and wide-scale revisionism onto all of our classics that denote any semblance of proper masculine and feminine archetypal roles. And speaking of bankrolling, simultaneously as all this lasciviousness took place, the Rothschild Bank forced the German populace to live under the shadow of its usury and debt-based banking, crippling the economy into hyperinflation. Sounds a lot like what's around the corner with the Federal Reserve, right? We talk about modern parallels to Rome when trying to rectify monumental societal changes, but we actually don't even have to look that far. Hitler rose to power preaching for Christian values, preserving racial and national boundaries, functioning in a market outside the Rothschild debt-based system, like Bitcoin, and standing up against wide-scale degeneracy and immorality, to the point of literally burning the sinful collection of the Institute of Sexual Sciences. How did this happen? A class of powerful, fearless, influential, and based men who prioritized speaking the truth and standing up for what's right over financial security banded together as leaders of the country and rejected all of the toxicity. And that is why even though the Führer tried to call for peace, the drunkard puppet of the Rothschilds, Winston Churchill, forced Great Britain to strike first. Now think about it today. A primary role of their religion or worldview is the separation of the Gentiles and the chosen. And they own everything. They tell you what to wear, what to buy, how to act, and what to believe. Which is why once the Great Awakening is in its full force.
Yo, let me know if you guys can see and hear me. Press 1 in the chat if you can. I'm configuring a lot of this out right now. Sorry for the late start. Sorry for restarting over and over again. Your man is learning the technology here. So type a 1 if you can hear me here. All right, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, you know, there's a lot to go over here, guys. First of all, thanks for tuning into the roundtable. For those of you who are new here, the reason why this segment is titled The Roundtable is the reason why King Arthur, not to be presumptuous here, but the reason why he created this idea of the round table was that all of his knights had an equal say in this conversation. And this whole idea and conception of authority is very important to me, because a lot of us, we believe that authority is something that is based on clout or attention or some Babylonian meritocracy. But in actuality, as the Bible tells us, authority ultimately subsides into the individual. You are the source of all authority. You are the last arbiter, right? So you might look at your boss, you might look at your commander in the military, whatever role you have. Anytime you see an individual, you need to consent to looking upon him as an authority. And I think it's important that we always have that context, which is why when Christ came as a man, he stood against Rome and the synagogue of Satan, right? He was one person who was doing what he believed was righteous. So it's a very important sentiment that I feel like we have to distill, because the only way we're going to actually defeat this Leviathan is if enough men understand this concept. So it's very important. You know, it's an integral thing. But the subject of this, and the reason why I titled it "Why No One Wants to Get Married," is because while there's all this political banter and it's incredibly important, at the same time, all this is based on this subtext that we are procreating and creating stable families in the first place, which statistically just isn't happening. And, you know, this is really related to, I had a very interesting weekend. Okay. And a friend of mine from out of town, he was visiting and wanted to experience all that my city had to offer. You know, I live in a very nice metropolitan area. So he wanted to experience the gambit from fine dining to nightlife, right? He's a younger guy. So while I'm personally absolutely disinterested in surrounding myself with morally bankrupt venues, you know, designed for predatory one-upmanship and violence, I will entertain a friend. And ultimately, you know, it's about the company you keep. And he's a young guy, but he's a good guy. He's a Christian and he understands this fight as well. So, you know, honestly, for me, before I get into this, going past anywhere after 9 p.m. at where I'm at in pretty much any major metropolitan city is, you know, all the evidence that I need personally to see that, like, we're kind of cooked. And I'm not trying to be blackpilled here, but, you know, it was a reminder this weekend that our society is really finished until we sort of wake up, like really wake up in a very drastic way. And I like to call it first world hell world. And I've used this sentiment before. You know, your fridge is full of goodies. You're in a cozy temperature controlled room. Your bed is plush with your silk sheets and you've got plenty of digits in your portfolio, ensuring your sense of survival security. All that is in stack, sure, but the culture no longer has a soul, and the people do not share a vision whatsoever. It's pure, unadulterated chaos where people are just using one another, essentially. And it was a reminder, you know, we were just out enjoying some bars and just saying that everyone's just using each other as punching bags emotionally to avoid intimacy due to prior trauma and this widespread faulty parenting that is really taking over. So everyone's pair bonding ability is overcooked and fully dried out on the kingdom come. It's like every steakhouse you enter only serves well-done ribeyes. And if your stomach is growling, that's all they got. That's sort of how it feels in the dating market. And I don't like to go out often, but me being out experiencing this as a cultural commentator, I could not help but realize, like, all these red pill talking points exist for a reason. It's really bad. And this imbecilic boomer generation will judge and ridicule all of these complaints as first world problems, which is why I created that sentiment, because they have never suffered under this type of weight in the first place due to living their life in essentially complacent easy mode, right? So as a cultural commentator and a watchful artist, I've come to totally accept that this is the state of affairs for the human situation. Like, we have to accept it if we're going to go forward. Otherwise, we're not acknowledging who their enemy really is. And the dating market, as far as I can see today, is just us using each other as these human toilets and consenting to this ZOG science experimentation towards full-blown miscegenation to run its course. Right? Like, I know I'm not the only one who sees this. And it's wild. Just going out one night, and I rarely do this, but just going out, I could not help but see it's manifesting in front of me. Everything is just so black pill now to anybody who has a modicum of wisdom today. And if you blame all of these faults onto the feet of men, you will see that this might make some people uncomfortable. Masculinity coping and purity spiraling at this stage are a part of the psychological operation and a part of the problem as well. And that's hard for a lot of you to understand. It's only going to further extend this state of delusion rather than accepting what simply put is. And that was my conclusion, just thinking about this the next day deeply. And on top of all this introspection, I came across this Jubilee video titled Men's Rights Activists versus Feminists. Then a couple hours later, in that same evening, I saw this Nick Fuentes debate where he was against a panel of these five self-proclaimed feminists. And with all that's going on, the synergy of my personal life, what I was thinking about, and all this content perturbing itself here, I think it's that time again. It's time to talk about how disloyal and deceitful female nature is at the fault of men who are afraid to tackle the problem head on. This is really the issue, because a lot of these solutions are actually copes. You need to first accept and acknowledge the dragon, the elephant in the room, right? It's a very black-pilling topic, I understand, because there's very little positive feeling in ruminating about these matters, but we have to stop sheltering ourselves from the virus that is spreading. You can't fix the problem if you act like it's just not there, right? There's a cancer in society. You know, I'm reminded of a quote by Aristotle. And he talked about how men and women, you know, obviously they're different, but you can really see this differentiation by how they define evil. Aristotle said that men define evil from a divergence from a set of abstract principles. Women define evil from an obstruction from their immediate desires. And in a gynocentric society, the latter has taken the North Star to cater all our human efforts and endeavors towards. So it really just boils down to the point that nobody wants to get married in the current year. And you can say, well, I do, but we're looking at a disproportionate number, okay? And what is also growing. And look, full disclosure, I'm always going to be transparent with you all. I'm speaking for myself as well. You know, I'm speaking as a man who does not participate in the degeneracy that is hookup culture. I don't want anything to do with that. But even as an artist, as literally this weird, honorable, creative monk, more or less, I don't want anything to do with it as well, you know? And I haven't been tainted and poisoned like many of my generation. The majority of those in my generation, speaking of which, the millennials, as they call it, and below, all the other generations coming up, they only pretty much see the purpose of marriage as this gateway towards the idyllic living situation for children, as essentially an uncomfortable truth that I'm seeing. It's very black-pilling, but I'm just being honest. You know, push back. This is a roundtable, okay? It's just about transparency and not sharing any deceit. I'm just being honest with you all, keeping it a stack. But I can't help but notice that the woman today, or the sexes in general, besides, like, there's a romantic nostalgia, but they really no longer feel that they need another in our excessively comfortable society, which is why the average age of women getting married today is in their early 30s by the time their fertility health has plummeted. Like, to me, that's not a coincidence. So, on one hand, it is disappointing in a larger, grandiose sense. It's signaling a lack of pride in what a person individually feels that they represent for a greater collectivized community and identity. It can be race, religion, or social networks that become compensatory cults, these echo chambers like the manosphere, you know, convention attending, football team loyalty, whatever you call it, right? There's nothing connecting them to something bigger at this point. The impetus is sort of subsided, right? And in that regard, as I repeat often and correctly, all of these things are usually Napoleon complexes to masculinity cope anyways for these deformed and ogre-like people. Physiognomy never lies. But on the other hand, I'm not trying to denigrate this, but let me give you devil's advocate so you understand the full picture. It is ultimately a matter of experiencing pleasantry at one's day-to-day baseline reality. And what I mean by that is this is the problem with these LARPers. You know, you can repeat the mantra that I want to procreate more white babies into the world, and that's all beautiful. That's fine and dandy by me. It is a good thing that should be advocated. But you're once again thinking so meta and macro at the micro level, like you're putting the cart before the horse as we aren't addressing the actual heart of this multi-headed hydra. We need to always look at this from the level of practice before you put these giant bloviating sentiments out the window. You're not shifting the incentives by repeatedly just stating these, I'm sorry, but like rather useless mantras that make you feel good when you're smoking cigars with your buddies. The ZOG has completely brainwashed all westernized women of all races. Like they no longer have interest in settling down until it's we're so cooked. I don't think they have interest in settling down, you know, until maybe in like their late 20s to early 30s, when all the high genetic stock males, as in like tall and facially handsome men, no longer find them viable due to them aging out. Then the incentives change. Human beings are a lot more circumstantial than we want to believe. That's why I care more about changing circumstances rather than just repeating these mantras and LARPing online with some Greek marble sculpture photo for your profile while you're a dysgenic fat ass. Just being honest here. It's about changing the incentives of women, right? And the problem with these girls today is they basically don't want to. They want it by the time it's too late, which will begin their journey towards weight gain and focusing on milking some ignorant goofball as a living wallet for resource extraction whilst completely hiding their past to that man. So we can repeatedly wave the flag of traditionalism, which is pretty much only waved to other men, by the way. Like they're only clapping for each other. This is what I'm saying. Like this does nothing to change the incentive towards sublimating female sexuality in a more proper direction. I'm sorry to be blackpilling. I know you guys are probably going to get mad. That's not my incentive, okay? I'm just being honest about the assessment so we can manage the facts on the table at hand. There's no point in lying. If you care about the truth, you should tell them bluntly, right? I would say that there are exceptions because I know there's people already saying, well, what about my mom? Or what about my sister? She's based and she watches this network, whatever. I will say that the only women who have the ability to acknowledge this argument are almost like 40 with two kids. This is my point. In other words, are speaking in retrospect rather than forwardly navigating in wisdom towards righteousness. And this is the great problem. This is the elephant in the room. And we all know it goes deeper. We can't rewind. We can't go back in time for the coming generations. There's pretty much no turning back. And the only people really doing it properly, according to these overprivileged, complacent, and out-of-touch boomers, are either the exceptionally few living in the middle of nowhere, down the Bible Belt, or paired together via matchmaking through arranged religious gatherings towards marriage. Like they're pretty much it's just a courtship ritual. And that's a beautiful thing, but we have to understand that is not the growing normalized state, okay? I would say, if we're going to be honest here, if we're going to be blunt about what reality is right now, literally everyone else, for the most part, other than these Bible folk, they're playing this five-stranded roped tug of war. This is the analogy I was trying to explain to my brother earlier. You see a knot in the middle, and then there's different energies pulling this knot. And it's between pride in being solitary due to being completely urbanized. Even people away from cities are on their phone, which is basically causing this social media echo chamber of being urbanized. Exercising romanticism, nostalgia to the past, difficulty letting go to protect their own hearts from past trauma, childish, petty, sexual one-upmanship, and creating, finally, a wholesome nuclear family. There's this strand where everyone's just pulling in different directions. And our culture has basically stagnated, you know, all of dating into this state of total identity crisis. And I will say this regardless of your political, religious, or racial leaning. I think across the board, the ZOG has beyond successfully traumatized the sexual energy and hearts of all westernized women. And I say this because all that matters as of now in 2024, for women that is, I'm not even talking about men. What women care about above all else in this epoch, in this generation and era, is pretty much a man's physical appearance and fornication without the production of children. That is literally a twisted state to be in, because the whole point of fornication is for kids. But women today, they want half. They only want half the equation without the virtue. And honestly, I guess they're just, I guess this goes to just show female nature further. They just want to be bad girls as long as they possibly can be. Because a black pill is, I think this is just who they are. Right. Now, I want to be clear here, because I know I just put a lot of animosity and tension into space here, but to be very clear, I'm not defending this position, and I need to iterate this because every time I say something that's an uncomfortable truth, I always have to hear a bunch of these low IQ troglodytes interpret this as a defense of said position. On the contrary, I despise how low class everything has become. But by sticking our heads in the sand and just pretending that it's not the case, it is 1,000% guaranteed a reality for your children. You know, you should want to suffer now so your children don't have to. And when you look at what kids are going through now, what young people are dealing with in this dating market, how can you pretend like just being, you know, a traditional Twitter shitposter is going to fix anything, right? Waking up to reality is not ever pleasant, but it means you're on a solid foundation, right? So be it. Women are pretty much absolute narcissistic whores today who only care about how hot a guy is. Like, let's be honest here, okay? They don't care about virtue when they're at their most attractive. And the majority of men are too biochemically unsound, therefore mentally numb, to recognize how genetically ugly they are to the opposite sex for the most part, because hypergamy is on steroids. It's a very harsh pill to swallow. But that is more or less the current state of affairs. And you have to laugh. That's like the only cope you can pretty much have, right? Because there are literally no female virgins today. Come on. Unless you go overseas, I guess. And there are exceptionally, in all honesty, only few genetically successful men. And I'm, as a side note, again, I would argue in many ways men are more delusional about their S&B than women when you go out into the real world outside of the male-dominated echo chamber of Twitter and YouTube. But, you know, all of these little gadgets, all of these little apps, these dating apps, instant pornography, it's all causing instantly gratified ejaculative brainwashing towards castration, only functioning as icing on the cake to further crystallize this reality. And the most central point, you know, when you wake up to this, when you just accept this is the state of affairs, this black pill transactionary state, you know, what we call the trade of procreation in 2024, is the very harsh pill that I want to force you to swallow today, because then it will allow you to navigate reality proper, okay? It is that women literally do not need men in 2024. This is the reality no matter how you try and slice it. And newsflash, it's only going to get more deafening. Understand, you can repeat that. All of the necessary infrastructure jobs like plumbing, bridge repairing, construction laborers, engineers and programmers, surgeons and truck drivers, they're all predominantly men. And that is statistically valid. It is factually true. But number one, understand, other men respect that. I respect all those men. But we're talking about women here. right? There will be no collective revolt of men that will band out to Washington, D.C. and protest for women to open their legs as some reward for going to the 9-to-5. That's just not going to happen, right? Like, that is absolutely true, and I respect all those men. Like, I have many friends who all have all these types of works I just mentioned, and these are my boys, you know? These are my brothers. I love them. But the female psyche doesn't interpret any of that. You know, all you have to do is think about any time you're hanging out with a bunch of your friends and any woman comes into the room, regardless of what she looks like. The moment a woman comes into a room, the social energy changes. Why? Because their social apparatus is completely different. A flood of emotionality comes in the moment a woman comes into space. So they're not going to interpret this information in a way that makes him want to feel sacrificial for a greater good. That's not going to happen. So it's true in a macro sense, yes. But for the lived experience of the majority of men, they aren't going to work and telling themselves that I'm building civilization and all females ought to be grateful for my existence. No, that's not their reality. You know, I mean, I would say if you're one of those tradcon dorks, like the LARPers that is online, the Napoleon complex photos of Julius Caesar, but, you know, you're really a dysgenic little blob. You know, you're probably satisfied with unattractive women, so I guess that's fine. But most men, on average, because I care about the majority of men. The majority of men, we're just hanging on, right? They're just paying bills and spending their extra earnings onto bar hopping during the weekends to poison their bodies further into hopes of finding a hobgoblin who has enough makeup on in combination to their state of intoxication to live their sad fantasy. That is the bleak reality of most men, right? And I saw that this weekend, you know? Hanging with my boy, catching up, having my Zacapa on the rocks and just looking going, wow, this is our world. And I'm not trying to dismiss that important point I just mentioned. You know, like, it's correct that men have to soldier up if our national boundaries are seized. And that without us, skyscrapers will literally collapse. As in, like, the annual upkeep and maintenance is from courageous men hanging miles up by wire, right? That's incredible. But what I'll say is that the same men who conquer and climb mountains and complete marathons, they will simp for a post-wall 3 out of 10 witch-faced tramp at the drop of a hat. This is my point. And I've just basically come to accept that we won't be able to change anything until we accept this totally. Medicine doesn't taste good, right? But it's good for you. And unfortunately, most people are not going to swallow the pill until it gets a lot worse. So I think it's going to have to get a lot worse. So I don't think this is a problem we have to try to solve by waving these traditional conservative flags. You know, save who you can. That's what I'll say. But as a societal level, this is not something to solve. This is something we must endure through. And I'm only sharing my two cents here because those of you who are on the fence, who need some further articulative guidance, you know, you could be further blackpilled onto the nature of reality that way. You know? And look, you should understand, like, I'll speak for myself personally, I'm not really bothered by this as well, you know, because I am this weird voluntary celibate artist monk. But I've consciously understood that, yes, all this degeneracy is beneath me. I don't need to waste my time with that reality. But the point that I'm seeing that, again, there's a black pill that we're swallowing here together, my friends, okay? And the black pill here is that maybe nothing is really, you know, maybe nothing's really getting worse, right? Maybe it's just being revealed. Maybe the bleak reality that 80% of men being boxed out is only further articulated onto the masses is just being more connected in these online communities where the confirmation is coming into fruition, right? And maybe it's just going to feel harder because we no longer have coping mechanisms to genuinely feel like they have any actual solidarity and ground to stand on anymore. And the black pill is that the genetically attractive people each other, and it is impossible to trick nature. It's just the way God made us. So in that context, when we see this reality unfolding where the circumstances for female loyalty are no longer dependent on resource extraction from a virtuous man, well, the context of getting married today is not a matter of love then. It's just going to be about, for men, it's going to be about biting the bullet, at least for the first few years, right? Because this grass is only greener on the other side perspective that women always hold, and men also have in regards to thinking they should have a more attractive woman because of how much money they make. Well, the juice will never be worth the squeeze, as a mind is endlessly hypergamous in that way, right? And again, I don't have any issue with any of this. I'm just, all I'm trying to do is point out that don't even want to get married if you're not willing to live in a time capsule in this epoch, or until the culture revenerates marriage, which will only happen once women treat the sexual act as a sacred space once more, which won't be happening anytime soon, right? So if we're going to have to wait another 75 years minimum, if everything, by the way, is correctly directed in the first place, this is all assuming everything goes correct and people wake up right now, like right at this moment, I press this red button and like Thanos, I can snap reality differently where women realize that there's sexual purity is valuable and don't give it up in this loosey-goosey way. Assuming all that, right? Well, even in that case, that button being pressed right now, everyone over the age of 18 still have to settle for these women over the age of 27 years of age. You know, we might as well adapt to the reality as we see it nonetheless and stop selling false hope. This is the solution point, I guess, right? Because this is the reality for the remaining epoch. Okay? There's no point in bitching beyond it, right? So in turn, I guess based on that, that was all a pretext, right? Based on all the information, my issue is actually on how out of touch and hypocritical these Puritans are then. And they're just lying and LARPing to people. I think that's really the issue then, right? Because of course you should try and find as pure as a woman as you can, certainly. But to tell yourself she should have the face of an angel, perform like a porn star whilst at the same time having a good relationship with her father, be low maintenance, and be a virgin, like that's beyond contradictory in the current year. It's just not going to happen. And I would in a way argue this is male hypergamy from porn addiction, Instagram doom scrolling. The psychological terminology actually that is used is the Madonna whore complex, where the man either exalts a woman as either a holier than thou virgin goddess to be protected, or in contrast, like absolute contrast, he looks at her as a street gutter rat that deserves to be off. Yeah, social media and pornography has brainwashed men to want both simultaneously, which ultimately, with the lack of experience and with a terrible diet causing lower testosterone levels across the board and causing less idyllic bone protrusion in the face, if you want to get very specific about it in regards to how castrated we are from a nutrient perspective, it's going to cause most of the demographic to be participants in this sympathetic culture. So I truly feel that for the majority of men, the majority of us, if you continue to do this purity spiraling and doubling down with masculinity coping, I genuinely think nothing will actually move forward. So yes, I am saying the production of more children to raise proper in this sick society will more or less be contingent on biting the bullet as a man and more or less taking a bad deal. There's a lot of black pills today. There's been a lot on my mind in this regard, okay? But this is a very important reality. We should kind of understand, you know? It's like, and I'm also outside the financial enslavement of marriage, which is obviously a bad idea to Western men or anyone with two brain cells here, right? I'm talking about the commitment to a fragile and demented psychological state of being full of unpleasantry and restriction. That's the deal in 2024. And I don't know how many of us are about that life. But let's see what the chat thinks here. I know that was a very black pill rant here, but this is sort of the reality that we're dealing with. And just this weekend, I kind of came to realize this, because for the most part, I stay in my studio and I paint. I'm making art. For the most part, I'm producing beautiful paintings and revitalizing biblical imagery. That's what I'm doing beyond 40 hours a week, right? I don't actually have much reason to go out because I get so much food for the soul. I'm rather in a state of humility because this book here, I got a dope Bible, by the way. I got an amazing Bible. But this book humbles me, right? So I don't really have to go out. I have nothing to prove. You know? I'm reading some galactic stuff here, ladies. I don't really need to hear about your astrological signs. But when I do go out, it's such a bleak reality. I just go out and I go, wow, everything that is said in good book is true. But not only that, the devil is busy. The devil is doing very well. And I think we need to be willing to speak about it openly. This is my point. My real issue is that we shouldn't put our heads in the sand, and masculinity coping and purity spiraling is a form of putting our heads in the sand. Like, let's be honest here, because what actually is going to cause women to second guess this promiscuous behavior? They don't care about red pill content. They don't care about these tradcom movements. They don't care about any of that. We need to wake up to the reality, and it's even more harsh, but that's the only way we can actually address the fact that it's heavily circumstantial, right? All right, let me look at some super chats here. I love that. Yeah. Okay. So guys, I can I'm really focusing on messages I get on my personal Rumble here, because I know I'm simultaneously casting on our brother Stu's network here, but I won't be able to see your chat. So if you want to interact with me at the roundtable, which is a big essence of this dialogue, go to my Rumble and, you know, come to that live stream here. I'm so mad, bro. Let me cope. There are no copes at the roundtable. You're right. As a college-age young man, women only want to have degenerate sex and drink all the time. It's really disconcerting. You know, I got to say that I don't think people understand how heavy the genetic component is a factor as well. And this is harsh for people to understand, because the reality in dating today is that as attraction decreases, transaction increases. So when women are at their peak, they actually just want to be with other attractive men now, especially because women can make their own money. You know, back then when you looked at the transaction, it was, hey, fresh eggs for resources, right? So what does that mean? That means that, you know, you got to be sexually pure and exclusive to me, and I'll bring home the bacon. Well, what happens when women are in the workforce and they can also vote? They're going to say, well, we want to self-aggrandize ourselves. And matter of fact, we're going to show how emotionally we are, emotionally unstable we are to these men. And that's basically what's going on. So they're just going to want to get, you know, they want to basically write all the chads and they're going to throw out all their identitarian values that they should not subvert, but they don't care. You know, I think the reality here historically is that women don't handle power proper, because they don't have the perspective to understand sacrifice for a greater good. They just do not. And the Greeks understood this. This is why I mentioned Aristotle. You know, all the ancients understood this. That's why every philosopher from Schopenhauer, Nietzsche, across the board, you can literally name every philosopher. Whenever they wrote an essay on female nature, they always made it clear they should not be in positions of power. And the less power they have, the better society will be run off. And obviously, Unwin is the first person to really write a thesis about this, extrapolating how when women have sexual liberation, they no longer care about male honor. And the people aren't understanding that, yes, we can talk about all these issues. I've been banned off every mainstream platform for JQing. I'm not saying don't talk about that. There's nobody more banned than me right now. I am the samurai that the Jews fear. You fuck, man. Come on, nigga. Like, all I'm saying is that we have to also address the rampant female promiscuity, because that is equally galactic of an issue. Okay, this is a multi-pronged issue. I'm all for JQing. Believe me, most of my peers in this liberty movement, this is what they do on X all day. I went so far that I can't even create another account. I've shared this with some of my folks. Somebody created a fake Arthur Quanley account. They used my face. 3 days later, they were nuked. You can create one, but you better not post anything similar to how I talk. I try to create another account. My IP is banned. So I'm all for JQing, right? That's incredibly important. But let's be honest here. What's just as important is this female disloyalty problem. And we can do a JQ bang to this as well. They're very well aware that we have to utilize the degeneracy of female sexuality to castrate the men. Like, what is pornography? I'm not saying women are bioweapons, but I am saying they're bioweapons. Okay? Like, women are like fish. They're like goldfish, 3-second memories. They just do stuff. So whoever's going to scintillate them the most and offer them some sort of resource extraction, even if it's through a Babylonian system, they're going to subside to it, okay? So we have to be willing to be properly sexist, because if you're not sexist, you actually aren't fully based. That's the reality. You can recognize the JQ, but why is it then? You know, I'll use some anecdotally push, because I know there's some Simpson here too. Why are all the based women sexist to their own gender? Because maybe, for the most part, women don't have pure rationality. Maybe that's why they're used by the ZOG. Maybe that's why pornography, female sexuality, promiscuity, all of these things, they're all voted in by female votes. I mean, like, shouldn't this be common knowledge at this point? You know? It's just important. Like, we need to be willing to talk about the reality of female nature in a totally unsolicited manner, right? We're trying to push a normalization of talking about the JQ. Of course, your nigga's been banned. But we got to talk about the female issue too, okay? Race realism, sexism, Jewish elitism. If you cannot talk about all three openly, if you're only focusing on one, but you're still rather blue-pilled about the others, you're not fully based, my friend. That's the reality. And I'm not bitter at all. Again, like, I'm a Valsal monk artist. But look from a bird's eye view, who is causing the damage and how are they being weaponized? Right? Like, we need to think about this three-dimensionally. It's not just like we can't just sit here all day and talk about the Jews. Well, actually, we could. That'd be fun. but there's other – I want to do that, actually. But there's other components to it, is what I'm saying. So we need to be able to address that as well, because I sometimes talk about this, and I'll get people saying, yeah, but, you know, Arthur, it's like, you know, you can't be so hard on these women. And I'm like, brother, you have no idea how cucked their culture is today, right? Women shouldn't even be like – they shouldn't even be allowed outdoors, to be honest. Like, I'm kind of like, I'm very East Asian. Like, I'm very geisha oriented with women. Like, they should just be inside. They shouldn't really, like, They shouldn't really like know how to read and write either. Like, I don't see the point of all that. You know what I mean? Women don't give a shit. They don't see us equal. They don't. Yeah, people don't understand. Feminism goes out the window immediately if society returns to the way of nature. When you say the way of nature, what do we mean by that? Because what I'm arguing here, what I've been arguing this whole time, is that nature is being revealed, but it needs to be safeguarded. What I'm saying is that this is not... Christianity is the scaffolding we need so that our society is morally cohesive. The point is, human nature, if we're untethered and we do whatever we want to do without thinking of being morally reprehensible, we will do the worst of it. We will rape kids, drink their blood, which is why, look, the elite does this for a reason, okay? The elite is literally having baby torture parties and drinking their blood and sacrificing them because they're untethered by law. You'll be surprised, like, people don't understand. When you don't have these constraints, you'll be as diabolical as possible, okay? This is the, when we say man is sinful, he is born in sin. The reason why you have to confess your sins and bow to the cross is because you don't even realize how fucking evil you are. Like, you don't, okay? Like, when you realize what the elite is actually doing, when you have actual insiders who show you secret footage, when you see how fucking evil it is with this blood drinking and cannibalistic rituals that they do at the top to the synagogue, it's bad. Okay, they don't. Morality is one of two things. All right? You either do the right thing because you submit to a higher order, you must submit, or it's what you can get away with. So when you say return to nature, the problem with that, and I agree when you're talking about like secularized interpreted nature. Yes, I can hear that. But human nature is rather reprehensible. And it's uncomfortable to talk about, but human beings will do the worst that they can get away with. That's actually who we are. So it's about, this is why I said I care about changing the circumstances. We need to enact as much of a Christian culture and government as we can. That is the only thing, literally, the only thing historically and galactically, spiritually, that can cause us to behave somewhat proper. There's no such thing as perfection, by the way. As the Bible says, you'll never have heaven on earth. But it's about finding the greatest alternative you can. Okay, an authoritarian Christianity is pretty much the only solution because conservatism is gay, liberalism is obviously retarded. They're both ends of the ZOG. So when you say return to nature, I only concern about that notion because what we're seeing, what I saw when I was out this weekend for a moment to experience this nightlife thing and these random strangers are grabbing my ass. And I'm like offended, but they don't care because they're like purely zombified and hypnotized in a primitive and primal and deranged state. I can't help but say, this is nature. This is the point. Human beings are absolutely folly and disgusting. They need to be humbled by the Lord. That's the reality. That's the reality. Not going to lie, frivolous sex be one of my vices. Please learn how to use proper English, okay? I'm tired of communicating in Ebonics, but recently decided on 6 months of celibacy to clear up my injury. Yeah, it's very, a lot of people don't realize that like when you are frivolously practicing sexual intercourse, you're becoming more homosexual. And because... I'll speak anecdotally. When I was having my struggle with the Lord during my undergrad, I fell into degeneracy. It was a brief window, thank the Lord. And all of my art was dog shit. Like all of my art was so bad. My art became more like loose and it's more like, oh, I'm trying to be like Dali. I'm going to paint more like psychedelic, bro. And it's like I'm not talking about color wise because I still use a lot of vibrancy, but all of my art suffered literally, it was, you could have measured it. The more degeneracy I was in, the more my art plummeted. Actually, it was more like this. A little bit really suffered. So when you say doing a proper cleanse, it's very important. I don't think people realize that your sexual energy is your creative energy, right? This is why this is a Christian show, right? The Round Table is based on King Arthur's mythology. The whole story of King Arthur is based on the Bible. So as a Christian show, let's bring it back to the Bible. What does the Bible say about how to use your sexual energy? There's really two things you have to understand, okay? The gray area is a problem, right? The gray area is a problem. You should either create a family or become a creative monk. Everything else is a lie. Everything else, you're not really embracing your masculine imperative. So understand that. You need to be a monk or you need to create a family. Everything else is BS. I've been in monk mode my whole life. I've been just painting fire my whole life, proudly so, right? Now, sometimes, you know, I do think, would I want to change to becoming a family man? I honestly do. I often do because they both have the trade-offs. And I would say most people should pursue the family model. Most people should, because very few people are able to actually be blessed like Bezalel in Exodus. Very few people actually get touched by the Holy Spirit to say, wow, I want to make beautiful art to serve and spread this message. Most people, a family will give them so much joy and happiness. Like my brother took the family route. I took the artist life and being a Christian monk in this regard. But I got to say, there's more people are suited towards the family creation as it should be. So don't waste your time in that in-between shit. That's degeneracy and that's where the hookup culture and loserdom is. Islam shows exactly how women need to be handled. Well, the only problem with that is that, look, if I'm going to pick an ally between Islam and, you know, I don't even need to explain this. Islam is a closer brother to us than the Jews, of course. But you got to understand that much of Muslim history is riding on the coattails of Christendom. And this is always hard for Muslims to accept. I'm not, by the way, shitting on Muslims at all, but it is true. And when you look at even their idea of multiple wives and keeping women wrapped in sheets, that was much more prominent in Christian history than even Muslim history. Like from like a timeline perspective, like we've done that much more. This is a new phenomenon with this Protestant Schofield Bible shenanigan. Oh, loud ass gulp, sorry. Mr. Kwon is the truth huacha, the Jews fear. All right. The problem was also generations of weak men. Women will follow the leader. They will follow the leader. The only problem though is that right now, I'm telling you, when women no longer have to submit to the financial transaction of sexual purity and fidelity, they will care about genetics. Because women at their baseline level only care about genetics. But back then, a man's, like what they call, the whole, this is my issue, the whole red pill phenomena, money, muscles, status, well, that worked. Especially with Gen Xers, it really worked with Gen Xers. And boomers definitely work the further back you go. But understand, all of that is like a man's makeup. The less old-fashioned a woman is, the less she will care about that. And this is hard for a lot of people to understand. But as time changes and progresses, they will realize that the black pill is, it's going to be a lot more about genetic exchange. Somebody's knocking my door. I'm going to ignore it because it's probably a Jew. Y'all know Christ is King, right? Yes. Arthur, you should paint Christ with cross in one hand, Excalibur on the other. What the fuck do you think this is? All right, I'm going to go to... See, if I want to, I have to pull up SBN's chats here, my brother. It's a little more work here. Let me see. Yep, these are images of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the black pill is hard to swallow. But the good thing is that it doesn't help anyone to lie and force them to live in this confirmation bias, right? It's like it doesn't benefit anyone. My thing is, again, I'm very good at stepping back and recognizing this and commenting on the culture because, believe it or not, what gives me an advantage is the fact that I don't participate. Do you understand? It's like being a coach or a commentator watching the game. And stepping back when I look at this here, it's unfortunate, but the reality is that these women, they want to extend their adolescence as long as possible. These women are all living in Peter Pan syndrome right now. Look, we all know this adage, okay? You ask a man, what do you want in a girl, blah, 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 you know, basic things. They'll say, we want her to be cute. We want her to be pleasant. We want her to not have a high body count. We used to say virgin. Now we say like less than 10, right? Which is like rare today, apparently. But a woman will ask for all of these things. But actually, it's the black pill. They don't care about, like, they'll basically, I'm sorry to say this. Women are always using men. Now understand, there can be women who do so with class. What I'm talking about is class this whole time, by the way. We need more class. But the women who make it obvious have less class. The women who admit it but then are respectful about the matter, they're the ones with class. And understand this, women are always using men. This is the black pill reality. They use the ugly and dysgenic men for resource extraction, and they use the tall and handsome men for the dopamine high. A lot of men do not understand that, because it's actually a scarce phenomenon, that when women look at a face like Leonardo DiCaprio or whatever, like when they see very handsome faces, they get roofied. And a lot of men don't understand that because there's this separation, this brainwashing that has happened in the West because it's EOG, by the way. People don't, it's connect, actually, this is connected, not to go back to that tunnel, but it is connected. A lot of men do not understand that the same way when you see a beautiful angelic face, you are getting endorphins. Women have that same biochemical response, by the way. We've just been basically brainwashed to believe that that's not the case. And now it's basically fully articulated in this connected culture. But what is worth saying is that the lesson that we get out of this, to be specific, is that women are far lazier than they are horny, especially as they get older. That's the one difference. There's a lazy and horny spectrum. Men are always more horny. Women are actually more lazy. They're horny too, but they're more lazy. And I say this because even if a woman is hot, if a guy has enough money, she'll go, man, I don't really have to work that much, Jen. But, you know, as I say, alpha fucks beta bucks, well, a woman will look at a handsome man and say, I want to use him for the dopamine high. And she will look at an ugly man and say, maybe he's got some cash money to spend on me. That's the reality. And back then, it was respectfully done. And when it's done respectfully, where there's two people understanding, in order to have the respect, there needs to be agreeable virtue, it can unfold a beautiful romance. That's why we all want romance and shit as men today, because there's no virtue in the female nature. You know, it's basically plummeted. So with all that said, you know, you got to pick your poison. And I just know that, again, if we start from this point position right now, and you're just going to say, well, she needs to be pure enough. She needs to do all this. Well, if you want kids, I'm sorry. Whatever your options are now, they're only going to get worse. Lost time is never found. You can make more money, but then understand that you're going to have to do the red pill route. The red pill works on red pill women. In other words, women who care about status, money, muscles, all these things, the red pill will work on them. But understand, the moment that goes away, they'll be gone. That's why this loyalty is rampant. But we have to be honest about this, okay? The honesty is that the black pill is that women are actually blind from the neck down. You know, love for women is a biochemical response where they're facially attracted to you and gazing literally physically up because they want you to be taller. That's the reality. Okay? All these other factors matter. The red pill phenomena of all these compensatory facets, they matter the older a woman gets. But if we're talking about young, beautiful women that these trad connors are always LARPing, saying that they will one day get, if I just can get a full plate of body armor and fight some dragons, well, those girls only want specific types of men. And that's the reality. I'm sorry. I'm just being frank, because if you don't look at this as is, we're just going to be lying to more young men, and they're going to therefore simp to the woman that they can never get. So there's male hypergamy that's also taking place. I guess this is what I'm saying. We should stop putting our heads in the sand. We should stop pretending like just waving this flag of traditionality is going to fix all of it. No. If we're going to go forward now, and if you want to procreate, look at the optionalities that you can get with. Go forward and understand that this idyllic state is not going to be the norm for at least three generations. That is a bitter pill to swallow. And I get if you don't want to do it, but you better have something to satiate yourself so you don't feel lonely, like painting or some kind of artistry. But otherwise, that might be the way to go, my friends. This is something I'm seeing. Yeah, I don't blame women for choosing genetics as well. They're at least honest about, I mean, they're becoming more honest about it, right? Yeah, exactly. They want genetics for the baby. Yep. Men age like fine wine is a meme. Too much. You guys are roasting. That's pretty funny. All right, let's see here. I have to get one of those super chat things where it just automatically reads, you know, like I don't even know what that is, because that way I don't need to do all this, you know, because I'm learning all this, my friends. You know what I mean? Arthur, do you think it's important to go to church? Arthur got me too'd. I never got me too'd, brother. That doesn't happen with me. But you should go to church, presuming that it is a good church. There's a lot of churches that are just hogwash, I gotta say. You know, I'm sorry to say this for myself. When I first moved here, so I moved here because my father is a senior pastor, and I attend his church, and you know, it's a base church, but you know, it's one of those locations that does have other churches around them, which sounds good. But then when I'm driving to meet our neighbor churches, sister churches, as they say. By the way, why do Protestants call sister churches? Why do Catholic and Orthodox, they look at them as brother churches? Kind of tells you something, doesn't it? Maybe the based ones are more masculine and they understand patriarchy is what undergirds all of us, all of Western society. Not just Western society, by the way, but obviously with America even further. Anyways, I'm just being sexist, right? But when I'm driving around seeing these churches, they have the rainbow flag and the Black Lives Matter flag still. Why are people still talking about that BLM money laundering scheme? But anyways, still, they still have the flags higher than the crosses. So only go to a church if they get it. I would say go to a church that has, you know, it depends where you are. I'm sorry. That's a big point. But go to a church that has the feel of patriarchy. Okay? Because it's not so that we can go there in masculinity code. I got to get into that some other time because that can be deciphered and unpacked very well. But if you go to a church that has a sense of that benevolent, honorable, loving, fatherly energy, it's incredibly grounding and it's very good for you spiritually. So Yeah, if you can find a good church like that, obviously the most redundant recommendations are Orthodox churches and Catholic churches. I've met some base Lutheran churches, and I've actually even met base Protestant churches. But the Protestant base churches, they're further away from the cities. You will never see a base Protestant church near anything urban. You'll have to go Catholic or Orthodox. That's what the cities do. They become more liberal and open, obviously. But that's the unfortunate thing. You know, people can say, people always actually retort to me, Arthur, you should be Catholic, though. You should be, how dare you? Choose one. I'm like, look, I'm Catholic, but I'm not one of these. It's what I'm talking about, purity spiraling. You can't make any alliances to understand how outnumbered you are if you're going to think this way. I understand that we're all brothers under Christ. This annoys me about our movement to no end. This denomination fighting, it's kind of gay. It's kind of like high school girls fighting, okay? Yes, we might have a disagreement about John 13. Fair. We can talk about that, but isn't the main point all of us bow our heads and confess our tongues to Christ? Like, really? Like, I can't ever go on that guy's show or connect with him because he's not really an Orthodox Christian or a Catholic. Like, oh my gosh. When you're on my side and you know all these people, you go, wow, there's a lot of gayness going on. Honestly. And I've seen this a lot because my father is a president of this church organization, or he was, I'm sorry, he was recently. And he knew he had to bring these different churches together. And oh my gosh, I've seen it. We have to grow the fuck up. You know what I mean? Class. We have to be high class again. Let's dress proper. Okay. Let's be better groomed. Let's stop smelling people. Stop with the smells. Let's stop the petty infighting. Let's come together. We're all children of God. None of us want degeneracy. We should be protecting each other's daughters. Like, why are people so low class today? Like, I don't get it. Like, am I an island here? It's I don't know. I think it's just my brother and I. Like, I don't know any base people around me. That might be the problem. Every time you get the urge to watch porn, imagine a Jew rubbing his sweaty palms together because he's conquered you. That's a fact. But not only that, all of this low-class shit, pornography, hookup culture, the infighting is low-class, rednecky shit, by the way. Okay? Like, we know better than that as children of God. This infighting thing that I just talked about, every time there's infighting, believe me, there are Jews behind the scenes sniveling their hands together. They love it. The last thing they want is alliance. Read the protocols of the Elders of Zion. Like, just read their playbook. Haven't you read their book? The protocols say the last thing we want is for people to create alliances. We want them to all be fighting each other. Sauron is a ZOG. There's humans who are the Aryan white people. There's the high elves who are the Asians. There's the orcs. There's the Muslims. There's the blacks. There's the Trents. Whatever. The rare, cool niggas. We're getting together to slay Sauron. No, he would rather have them fighting each other. That's how they win. This is how they win. We have a universal religion. They have a blood religion. Hello? Like, they've been screaming at this. They've been telling this to us on, like, with no shame for how long? Right? It's every time you do infighting, every time you poison yourself with porn, every time you approach some woman with I mean, we have to be predatory, you know, even if they're like our age, like even a 30-year-old talking to a 30-year-old girl, like you have to sexualize them, sure. But I'm saying if you're doing something that's obviously out of line, Jews be dancing. Jews are breakdancing on the yarmulkes, believe me. Oh shit, I knew the Asians were like the elves. Yeah, of course, you know, the Asians are the high elves. Of course they are. Because Asians are very pale. They're like, you know, Asian people are like kind of like pretty. You know what I mean? And then they don't have any scent, you know? We have the highest IQ but the lowest testosterone. That's like so elf. We're the high elves. Of course we are. You know, one of my banger tweets that I put out, which is pretty funny, I put out a tweet and it did pretty well. This is before I got banned, obviously. This is why I get banned, though. This is why I get banned. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good heuristic. I said, Asians are aliens. Whites are humans. Blacks are monkeys. And Jews are demons. Now, I know it sounds like, dude, that's messed up. But, I mean, obviously, you're being willfully ignorant of humor. I'm joking, number one. But it's a pretty good metric. It's a pretty good metric. Because you got to think about it. It's like, you know, everything. Charles Murray proved this, right? He said everything is a distribution between IQ and testosterone. Right? Blacks have the highest testosterone, but the lowest IQ. The darker skin people do. There's actually a reason for this when you look at sun exposure and how we anthropologically form. But they have the highest testosterone, lowest IQ. East Asians have the lowest testosterone and the highest IQ. Whites are a little bit in the middle. They have a little bit of each. They're balanced that way. That's why they're so successful. So obviously that means black people need to hit the books. Asians need to go to the gym. And white people, for fuck's sake, need to be grounded. Like, that's what all of this dialogue about race realism has been. So it kind of makes sense, you know? Of course we're the high elves. You know, we're you know, even in Korea, like, everybody knows about the samurai, but when you look at the history of Korea, there were these warriors called Hwarangs. The samurais of Korea were Hwarangs, and they were basically archers. And they were known for, like, wearing really, like, extravagant dope like kimonos. So their whole thing was to be like, let's have like really visible jawlines, and then let's like look like, let's look aesthetically phenomenal, but then let's use our IQ to kill. Literally, Hwarangs were known for that, which is kind of true. So we're definitely the elves, and the black people are probably the orcs, because orcs are like really strong, but they're really stupid. So, you know, the few good niggas, you know, the few good niggas. Y'all should really watch Sam Shimon's channel for afternoon daily Bible study. He's very good if you're not accustomed to going to church. He's also very funny. Jay Dyer is also phenomenal. Yeah, I've been in Jay's shows. Jay's a good dude. Jay's an Orthodox Christian. Sam is amazing. I would never want to debate this guy. I saw him debate, what is his name? Hadiki Kwa, whatever. And he absolutely destroyed him. But yeah, personally, I've been invited to actually a couple debates. I'm kind of on my own thing. I'm on my own shit. I'm not clout chasing and trying to do that. I am just trying to be a righteous guy and transparent and on my own path towards the truth. I don't want to debate either, because I'd rather just be unfiltered than get into tactics. And some big people have wanted to debate me. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad someone's doing it, you know? Yeah, it's amazing, right? Yeah. I have noticed that Koreans have by far the best Asian bone structure. Oh, thank you. Life is a race, Piglet, and I'm the racist. Let's go, Winnie the Pooh! Let's see. We got to get Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh meme. Let's fucking go. Good show, Arthur. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. It's hard to respect grown men who believe in imaginary fairy tales. Yeah, but you know what? I use Lord of the Rings as just one analogy, but really it's just reading Joseph Campbell. So, like, I kind of can be a nerd. I'm not going to lie. Okay, I love Tolkien. I'm going to be honest. I do like Lord of the Rings. But, speaking of high white culture, like, you should put some respect on that, to be honest. But you gotta understand that all of the great mythological hero tales, all of them have this idea of, like, the great ones of, there's infighting, we come together and we slay the enemy for peace, right? So it's not necessarily about fairy tales, like, you know, what is, I guess, you know, what is a recent one that's a big banger? Marvel, Avengers, the Infinity Gauntlet. We have to get all these different components together for maximal power. Now, obviously, it was on the other side with the bad guy, although I do respect Thanos for a reason, right? There's a principle there. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's fairy tales, but sorry. Like, it's a good principle to understand because the protocol's very clearly right that they want us to be at each other's necks, right? And, you know, we're giving them what they want, ultimately. It's not good. I was talking about religion. Sorry, Layla. Well, you don't have to be it. That's fine. But you know what? This has been my argument for a long time. I became a Christian from a very secular lens. Okay? So, you know, I told you my father was a pastor. He didn't start that way. We were just raised to be traditional, like literally typical conservative family. But I realized that if there wasn't an overarching moral structure, that people are still going to act reprehensible if they can get away with it. So speaking purely from a secular atheistic perspective, a materialist perspective, which is what your angle would be if you don't believe in any God, unless you're agnostic, but you have to understand that religion is still the scaffolding that allows us to be morally cohesive. So even if you don't believe in God, it's so practical, it's almost so useful, you should want it to be the case. It's so damn useful that you should believe it and you should advocate for it just because how useful it is from a secular perspective. So even if I was like an atheist, I would be like super pro-Christian, unless you're just bitter at the world. But if you just look at any evidence, if you're an atheist and you look at the evidence and you're against Jesus Christ, you might just have daddy issues. Just being honest. You know? No shade. Really liking that blue Jesus paint. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. That was a more recent thing I did. You know, I paint a lot of paintings, but one thing I do very often is these Christ Pantocrator series. Christ Pantocrator literally is Christ coming back. Okay? And this red one is obviously my most known one. Right, this one got me in trouble from these New York City Jewish galleries after all. But also a lot of big heads have wanted this painting. I'm not going to name them, but like literally like people with millions of followers on X, like big internet personalities like have wanted this. And I could have used the money, honestly. But I said no, because I poured my soul into this work. And I think that every artist, when you look at it historically, he usually only has like 12, 15 like notable lifetime works. There's a lot of their works can be amazing. You think of Vincent van Gogh, you see all his works, you can name 100 of beautiful works, but there's really like 10 that you go, these are bangers. Like these are peak moments, peak performance moments, as JF, I don't want to name him, says. But I think this is one. You know, there's a reason why the Israeli Wire talked about it. There's a reason why InfoWars talked about it. There's a reason why even Newsmax talked about it. Even like conservative ink establishments have talked about it. All these galleries have talked about it. Like this painting got me in a lot of trouble. It caused so much disruption. And why? Because I depicted Jesus in a way saying, get up, white America, understand you're a sleeping giant, pick up your sword, let's go. You know what I mean? Pretty funny. All atheists and secular people should check out Orthodox iconographer John DePetra to understand what. Yeah. I mean, I like the guy. I have a lot of people. We have a lot of mutual friends and connections. But my only issue, and he's kicking ass, by the way, like I'm speaking for his own personal financial well-being. And some insiders have told me he's crushing. He has like commissions backed up for like up to like 3 years. And he'll do like one commission. He'll make like a boatload on top of his book sales and all this. That's what I've been told. I mean, I can't verify this, so I'm not gonna, that's what I've been told. But my only issue with a lot of these other Christian artists, the reason why I don't think there's many actual, like I'm the only dissident artist. I don't say that to toot my own horn. I wish I wasn't so lonely, honestly. But the reason why I am only the the actual Christian dissident artists, because all these other Christian artists are still afraid to point out the JQ. They're all talking about Christianity. They're all saying, yeah, we need to restore Christ and normalize this imagery into the ethos. But what's really in the way? Like, you're talking a lot of shit. You're making all this beautiful work, but your voice sure isn't standing up for what's right in the proper direction. It's not syncing with the imagery you're producing. It's hard for me to find you that believable. You know, all the Christian artists today, they're all still placating to this intellectual dark web discussion. You know what it is. The Jordan Peterson level of Christianity. The archetypal language. Oh, it's political correctness. It's cultural Marxism. Okay, listen. All of those qualities are denoting somewhere, okay? Right? LGBTQ, sexual fluidity, women's rights, women being able to be in a gynocentric culture, sexual liberation, language policing, political correctness, cultural Marxism, supplanting our institution with degeneracy, especially schools for kids. All of these are different fires we're putting out. But nobody is pointing at the arsonist who's causing the fire, which are Talmudic values, which is a stepping stone towards the synagogue. So all these people saying they're Christian artists, producing Christian content, but they're afraid to also say the evil is there. You're half-assing it to me. I'm sorry, you're half-assing it to me. Yeah, but Arthur, you sound so hateful. I don't hate anyone. I don't hate anyone. When I talk about the Jews, if you think I hate them, you are missing the mark, my friend. I don't hate anyone. The problem really here is that they hate us. But that doesn't mean I hate them. I understand that you don't want to defeat an evil by adopting it and practicing and becoming it. I'm just saying there's a difference between fighting fire with fire and recognizing who is starting the fire. We should at least be able to say, yeah, but they're arsonists. You know what I mean? And they actually want to sexualize kids. And we're not cool with that. If that makes you hateful, if you say there's a line not to be crossed and it consistently comes from the same people, and you're asking me to turn off the brain, which is by definition a pattern recognizing machine. This is why you study, by the way. Okay, then I guess I'm hateful. Like, this is the level of logic that they're telling the populace to agree upon. Sorry, I'm gonna keep noticing. You know, I hate to be so Korean here, but there's a saying that if you are lost in a forest and you see the sun going down and you see 10,000 footsteps creating a pathway, that's probably your way out. If I see white school degeneracy targeting kids constantly and forcing them to peddle pornography consistently, it's coming from the same source, I'm going to point at the Talmud. I use no different logic. I did not use specialized logic here. I did not specifically target anybody right now. I will say the same for anyone. Okay? If there's a universal standard and that standard is being breached, of course it's going to pop out. If you see a fucking ball pit of like a bunch of like orange balls and I put one blue ball in there, where's your eye going to go? It doesn't matter if you use color theory, if you use basic logic, the lexicographical method, doesn't matter. The contrast will make you realize this. We're noticing patterns here. And it annoys me that all these artists who say they're Christian, I'm a Christian artist. Well, your church is pretty gay. A lot of your churches are pretty gay. You guys are Judeo-Christian churches. And a lot of them talk shit about me. They say, he's not very loving. Bro, I love everyone. Matter of fact, actually, this isn't nice to say. Never mind. But yeah, I don't have hate, guys. I actually have a very loving life. So let's just be mindful, you know? Arthur is a handsome Corinthian from the Lost TV show related to you. I haven't watched Lost. The boomer truth regime is going to be over. Yeah, look, in a way, the boomers are all dying. I'm not wishing death on people. Oh, you're hateful. There you go. We're entering a time that doesn't have an ism. It has elements of the past, but it's a whole new evil. Correct. Yeah, I see a lot of you going to my Rumble because it's just easier for me to see because I got, you know, I got to upgrade my screen setup here, my friends. Hey, Arthur, just agreed with your gay comment. Oh, man. Oh, you guys are going fast. Would you summarize your solution to the problem surrounding marriage in the present day in a concise way? If we're going to be honest, for men in the West, marriage isn't a good deal. It just isn't. I still want to see married couples producing families. Of course I do. But it's not a good deal, let's be honest. And it's because the incentives are off on both ends. And women are being exposed for their real nature. And men no longer get actual guaranteed pair bonding and loyalty. They just don't. How are they getting any sort of real loyalty? So what I would say is in this epoch, look, I've talked about this. Oh, I dread it so much because I probably have to do it eventually too. We all have to do this eventually. We have to look at these crazy women and we need to all do our part to taming them. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? They're like chickens with their heads cut off. It's just so unpleasant. It's like people and then these fucking people are like, oh, you're afraid to deal with women. It's like, no, we don't want to deal with women. We're not afraid. Men aren't ever actually afraid of women. We're afraid of other men. If there's some woman screaming at me and I just punch her in the face, then my problem is solved. But the problem is some other faggot is going to come up and I need to fight him now. And then especially if he's a blue-pilled weasel, I need to fight three other people. And if I kick their asses, then I need to fight men in suits who are armed, okay? Nobody is afraid of women, but they're fucking annoying. Like I dread, you know, because I still have Korean parents. You know, they're like, you got to have kids. You know, that's very important. I'm like, I don't want to do it so bad, but we're going to have to do it, you know? And people go, we got to go overseas and get women passport bros, man. I don't know if I co-signed that. The reason is because you see what happens when female nature is exposed. When you bring those women here, they will literally transform into them within 3 months. What, are you supposed to keep her sheltered? Also, every time I usually see passport bros, they're getting like third world low-class trash. Like these ugly, I'm sorry, but when I have dated, the girls are always smoke shows. Like, I don't need to. Like, they make beautiful women here, man. It's just a psychological thing. We need to tame this super unpleasant, ugh, these spiritually ugly people. That's what, like, we just dread. But, my friend, that's the deal. That's the deal. That's what you gotta do. Unfortunately, you have to look at these harpies who might look good, but they're just so disgusting as people. You just have to go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Okay, let me sacrifice my energy, time management, well-being, peace of mind, freedom, creative expression, and love, and beatific vision towards truth and harmony for the kids. That's the deal. That's the deal. It's fucked up, man. I'm sorry. But that's all you can do. I understand your sentiment on marriage. I still have faith there's good women out there, though. There are good women, but it's just incredibly rare. And uncomfortable truth. I talked about male hypergamy a lot today, and the reason why I did is because, let's be honest, we talk about female issues all day. Men, you gentlemen, we are just as guilty. Everything's fucked. And I'll tell you how we're guilty. The Madonna whore complex I mentioned. Understand, I've had many fathers. I don't know if I should say this. I've had fathers offer me to court their daughters for marriage, right? And this has happened consistently enough. I gotta say, this is how cooked it is. This is the different epoch and chapter we're entering, okay? When they are virgins, they very rarely look good. I'm just being honest here, okay? They're virgins for a reason in 2024 is all I'm saying. All right? So, unfortunately, when they have, the more baggage they have, they look better. And I'm not advocating baggage, therefore. I'm just being honest about an assessment that I've experienced anecdotally. Every time a virgin has been offered to me, I've gone, okay. And some are cute, actually. Some are, like, pretty cute. I'm like, all right, she's a cutie. But then I'm like, you know, this is male nature. It's like, we also like the bad bitches. If they're hot, we like them. I mean, what the fuck else do we like about women? You know, we want them to be hot, right? But we want purity and hotness. And that's the confliction that I'm also in a conflict. I told you, I'm guilty of this as well, right? Almost spit. I'm also guilty of this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Hope you do get married and have kids one day. Best thing that ever happened to me. Need more dads like you.
Thank you, Raffle. I appreciate that. You're a real one, my brother. And you've been following me since day one, and I see you. Here's my thing, though, man. Oh, I love my life. I love being able to get up and be inspired. I'm very spiritually satiated, you know? Like, it's a very uncommon state. I realize that the deeper you go into spirituality, the more alienation you need to be sane. And it's because most people have to get up and go to a job. And I get up and I go to my canvas. And also I'm doing something that is not degenerate. So I can be tired in such a way. It's like some of you can understand this analogy. Like, have you ever gone to like a jiu-jitsu or some kind of combat sport? And at the end of class, you're walking, your feet are dragging, and boy, you are fucking high. Because you know you did some damage, right? And you feel good. Like, that's how my work feels. I feel good. So painting is also exhausting. People are like, how? You're moving your hands like this. Well, if you've ever washed dishes for like 2 hours and your lower back starts to hurt, that's like painting. So when I paint for like 6 to 8 hours a day, I do find myself like sitting for like 2 hours. Standing for a little bit. So I find that as well. You burn calories, actually. But, you know, I like the flow I have, you know, and three of my exes have actually proposed to me. And I didn't want to give up what I had. So everything I'm saying, I told you, I'm being honest, I'm guilty of this as well, but I'm learning. And I've been now a monk for too long. So I think about it because I see my brother, he's got kids going on and he's very happy. So yeah, I think you're right. You know, I'll get there, but I need to, when people say when I'm ready, a lot of people are coping when they say when I'm ready. They actually just don't have the options. Like, I don't know if I want to trade my wholesome and healthy lifestyle to bring in something that can perturb it. Like, I don't know if I want to ruin something that's good. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I see your point though. You know, I should think about it. I married someone that was not my type, in quotations. Looking back on it, thank God I didn't marry my type. Never wanted kids. My kids are the best thing to happen. That's what I'm saying. I love that. Yeah, you know what? We do need more kids. We need more kids. Obviously, we just got to make more kids who are oriented towards the Lord, obviously. But I don't know. I think I will say one thing. You know, I think some of you may understand this. Maybe some of you play guitar. Maybe some of you also paint. Maybe some of you have a creative outlet. When you have a genuine, a lot of people cap, I have a hobby. That's not an outlet. It might be cathartic sometimes, but like a true passion, honestly, I would say like maybe 5% of people get that. People should really be grateful. Like if you're like driving back from work and all you want to do is play your guitar, like you just can't wait to get home and fucking play your guitar. You're like, oh my gosh, I just want to go home and get better at this. Well, this is what I'm saying. There's two types of discipline. Shout out to G.K. Chesterton. There's the first type of discipline, which is carnal, right? Sexual pleasure, eating good food, working out sometimes and feeling loose and endorphin high. The other discipline, I mean, the other high is mastery of a discipline. And that's incredibly important to if you actually can experience that. I don't know, man. It's pretty good lifestyle. So, you know, that is, to me, a good reason to put it off. Because if I could paint until I'm 70, you can say that's a distraction. It's a pretty fucking good distraction, honestly. But not many people have that lightning that strikes them, in my opinion. Maybe like most of the world probably has some kind of creative thing they kind of dive into, but I don't know if many people have a genuine passion and like an actual, like they're like married to the game. Like, I don't know how many people are married to that. And I am. Like, I am in love when I paint. That is a form of love. But, you know, eventually I have to do that with like a woman. I get it. Yeah, I get it. Whenever I see Asian families, they look wholesome and the kids look healthy. Yeah, for the most part, you know, we are, you know, every metric of white privilege is actually more strictly true on Asian person if you look at it demographically, which is why, you know, people think that. It's so funny. They'll be like, you look at East Asian relationships with Israel and they're not that good for a reason. Unfortunately, they're just starting to contaminate South Korea, but Japan has told them to fuck off. Now they're infiltrating NHK, which is the national broadcasting of Japan. So they're trying to infiltrate their propaganda. But for the most part, I'm Korean, okay? So when the groupers call me the samurai, I appreciate the compliment. It was funny. When I was at AFPAC, these groupers kept coming up to me. They're like, you're the samurai that the Jews fear. I'm like, I'm Korean. They're like, we don't give a fuck. You're the samurai. I'm like, okay. I'm Korean. But I will say that the Japanese are the most third right country in the world. As of now, they're just so fucking based. And whether you like it or not, however it makes you feel, the Japanese truly understand that shame is what's going to solve a lot of this. We need shame, right? You know how a civilization becomes high class? Shame. Shame is what works. Why is that photo of Adolf Hitler and shaking the prime minister's hand of Japan? Why is that such a important photo? Well, that's what he literally appreciated about Japan. Hitler has wrote about Kanzo. Like he understood that Japanese people, they understand that shame is socially cohesive. So when you see a family that is together, the kids are in line, okay? You will never see an Asian kid making noise at a fucking McDonald's or a fast food spot and being loud and belligerent and making a scene. You will only see blacks and Hispanics do that or white people who have been brainwashed. But you won't really see East Asians do that because the dad will beat the living shit out of that kid. It's a beautiful thing. It's needed. It's needed. Shame is also what allows people, like, I gotta say, I sometimes think about, because, you know, when I've gone to Korea to visit family, or when I've gone to Japan, I sometimes walk around, I'm like, no fat people. You know? I was getting a phone case in Korea. All of the phones in every Apple store, none of them are connected because nobody steals. And no bikes have bike locks. You know, my one of my best friends, white guy, brought his girlfriend, and I literally told her, I said, I just want you to know, you can walk down Busan, this is a nightlife area of Korea, as a pretty girl in a bikini, in a part that looks more dark, and you'll literally be left alone. That is all a product of shame. Shame is incredibly cohesive, right? Fat shaming, for example, works. You know, it's pretty interesting. There's a part of a job application for many jobs is your weight. And they go, what? No way. Yeah, I know that you can't think of that here. And you also can't think of how one of the political topics when you see candidates on stage on national broadcast in East Asia is racial homogeneity. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Kamala and Trump talking about the disintegration of the white race because the Kalerji plan? Fuck no. Fuck no. But Japan is 98% Asian. It's Japanese, sorry. Korea is 90% Korean. America used to be 90% white, as it should be. This is why that meme I put up is so true. The alien sitting here, he's watching TV, and the alien says Asians. And the TV said, whites versus Jews. And he has a speech bubble saying, I hope the whites win. Because we get it. We get it. And this really clicked for me when I met Jared Taylor. I met Jared Taylor in person. Like, we actually met and connected. I said, Jared, you were a white man who was born in Japan, who was speaking up for Japanese nativism. And you realized that it was a very homogeneous force for social cohesion for the Japanese, and realized that was connected to your own identity as a white man. He's like, that's correct. And I realized that I'm on the same foot that he is in a white country. And talking to him was really very, it's kind of spooky. I'm like, wow, we're like literally flipping sides here. And he shared with me that, you know, and the Japanese people love me for it. And I said, well, it's pretty funny because a lot of the wignets are my biggest detractors and haters. And then Jared Taylor was like, well, that's cool. You know, like, the ones who get it will get it. But it's just interesting, you know, because people can talk all day about it. It's like, yeah, but, you know, look at these ugly Asian girls who go for like these nerdy white guys. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're not looking at it from a bird's eye view. You're not looking at it demographically. Japan is 98% Japanese. It doesn't matter. We're talking about ultimately. You can look at this little trend, but ultimate genetic makeup of the country is very clear. And there's a lesson there. There's a lesson there. And again, if you think it's just about being kinetic and getting into physical war, and not actually understanding it's an information war, then we've already lost. The Chinese don't count. That's true. I don't like Chinese people, though. I don't like Chinese people on average, because the Chinese are the Asians that come to the West, and they don't respect the culture. They don't assimilate. One thing that I love about white people is that whenever white people go to any country, I've shown my art everywhere. I've shown my art in Berlin. I've shown my art in Mexico City. I've shown my art in East Asia. Every time I meet white people who have moved to another country, they learn the language, they assimilate. When white people get frustrated because Mexicans or whatever don't assimilate to the culture, they're completely correct. Because when white people go to other countries, when I was in Korea, all the white people there spoke Korean better than me. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. Okay? Chinese people don't do that. Chinese people, and I'm sorry, but I'm just saying on average, okay? There's a reason why they say they're the worst tourists. Chinese people, they come to America, they take advantage of the education, then they go back after that training to China if they they can bring China back value, but if they decide to stay here, they just hang out with other Chinese people. They don't become Americanized. They don't respect the cross. Honestly, it makes Koreans and Japanese look bad, which is why Koreans and Japanese today, especially in America, don't really like the Chinese. And I'm not saying all Chinese. I'm not saying all blacks. I'm not saying all whites. I'm just saying all Jews. But it kind of rubs me the wrong way. Because most people, it's like I had a judo partner. He's from West Africa. And he's always like, those South Africans always make us look bad. I'm like, dude, you know no one can tell the difference? Well, in the same way, most people can't tell the difference with East Asian people. Only East Asian people can bear. Like, I can immediately tell Japanese, Korean, Chinese, because it's about the bone structure. It's subtle differences, but they all have some pretty identifiable features. But yeah, it makes us kind of all look bad because I don't like Chinese people for the most part. Chinese are the Jews of Asia. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Y'all are, I've black-pilled all of you. That's a good thing. It's good to be black-pilled, guys. It's good to be black-pilled because I'm not saying to go into a corner and sulk like a bitch. No one's saying to be a doomer. We need to look at the facts at hand. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? So it's getting bad, my friends. I'm going to do a quick, brief roundup here on, let me pull this up here. I got to pull it up on the screen here. It's easier if you're on my Rumble, guys. It's easier because then it just pops up. I see all the chats. But I can pull this up here, but then I won't see myself. And Asians aren't covering taxes out in Japan. If you're overweight, you cannot get certain health benefits. That's crazy. That's so good. I hope the white man wins too. Me too. Thank you for your honesty. My pleasure. That's what we're here to do, my friend. We're all just here to do our part. You know, we're all here to do our part, do what we can with what we have, right? So you're not an island, you know, you're not alone. None of us are alone in here, right? We're all here. We all want what's best for the world. We all want a better future for our kids. We all want our sons and daughters protected. You know, we all want the same thing. It's just everyone's being brainwashed. Somebody get this guy a second screen. Sorry, guys. Okay, I'm kind of old. I'm kind of an old head. I'm always using wood sticks, okay? I'm using brushes, okay? Like, even today, all these digital artists, I'm like, nah, I'm a romantic. Fuck that. Like, the chemistry is the high, by the way. But, yeah, I probably need a second screen. I'm learning a lot. I'm very new to streaming, but I'm very appreciative that all of you turned up. This is really fun. Y'all keep going out. but listen, just know that it all starts locally, and there's so much that can be done just by you voicing your opinion without compromising your work position, of course, you know. But if you have daughters, if you're a father and you have daughters, it's such a blessing so long as they love you. You know, if your daughters love you, they're not going to get into any of this shit. You know, so important. Fathers are literally the bedrock of society. Yeah, it kind of makes me sad if I think about it. Yeah, it's just fucked up. Everything I was harping on just boils onto the fact that, you know, these girls don't have good dads. That's really what it is. These are all daddy issues. I think America is a culture of daddy issues. And it makes me sad. But, you know, if you're going to have kids, just please be an active father. And if you have daughters, just please be in their life. I guess that's the conclusion here. Fuck. You know, But it's important. Hug your daughters. Hug your daughters. Thank you guys for tuning in here. And I don't have a designated date for this. I pretty much stream when I got a lot on my mind. But if you subscribe to my Telegram group, I always give a heads up. Like, I think I'm going to be streaming. So my Telegram group, believe it or not, I'm not banned on Instagram yet. Because I use this brilliant name that they'll never catch. Okay? They're never going to catch me on Instagram because I'm announcing here too. It doesn't matter. They can't catch me on Instagram. Because it's my account username is not Arthur Quan Lee. Can I get a Don DeMarco? So they're never going to catch me on that shit. So my Instagram's okay so long as I don't post my reels. The reels were why I was getting banned. The reels why I got banned on X as well. I've been banned 6 times now because of those reels that you saw in the intro. By the way, when you saw those intros, did you guys see any community guideline strikes? Did I use any profanity? Did I do any incitement to violence? You tell me. Because those are the reasons I was nuked, by the way. Feel free to screen record them and repost them. If you want to get views and if you want to monetize them, do so. I'm an open book. But I'm not allowed to post them because I'm the source. The nucleus of those reels. Those reels on World War II revisionism is why I got banned. So as long as I don't do anything like that on Instagram, I think I'll be okay. I just got to like basically keep it genial. Little photos, steak and potatoes images and blah, blah, blah. But you can still chat with me there. So Instagram is not Arthur Quan Lee. Join my Telegram group in the link just so you can get a heads up when I'm going live so we can come back at the round table here together. And my Substack. My Substack is an option as well. And I think I'm banned everywhere else. I wish I could be back on X. I miss being on X. X is where the action is. And the worst part of it is X is a pipeline for Rumble. So my discoverability is kind of squashed. So I would appreciate it if all of you subscribe to my Rumble and let the people know, you know, because I've walked away from so many things because it's about the truth. And a real man will use his voice for what's right. And I hope you all feel the same. I love you all. And see you at the next one.
ユダヤというのは自分の正体を隠して背後から操ることを得てしている。決して表に顔を見せない。侍の全く逆。侍というのは日本人の侍のことだけを言っているわけではない。どこ、世界各国にどこにも侍がいる。アメリカの歴史を見れば、独立戦争を戦った人々は侍だ。あるいは西部劇に出てきて銃を撃っていた連中も侍だ。当然アフリカの中にも侍がいるだ。だからこれから地上的には仕事が始まるわけだけども、地上的にユダヤを完全に屈服させるには世界中の侍が決起しなきゃいけない。彼らは恐れている。例えば
never will I kiss that fucking wall. And Arthur Kwan Lee, in response to, just don't do Christ anymore. Don't paint Christ anymore. This is Arthur Kwan Lee's response to that.
I will only do this now. If you can't, you must.
Look at that. That is beautiful. By the way, ArthurKwanLee.com. Go to ArthurKwanLee.com. That would look great in this studio. That would look really great at my house, actually. Beautiful.
It's a
beautiful
striking
painting.
Icon painting right there.
It really is. I mean, look at that. That is just, it's like, wow. Stu, what are your thoughts on Brett Weinstein's Rescue the West rally in D.C. on September 29th? Weinstein.
Doesn't that say it all, my friend?
Enough said. Weinstein. All right.
Enough said.
Later, the Korean merchants and store owners who own that shopping complex, they were talking to me for a moment. They said they were fed up. They walked away. Next thing I knew, they walked out of their stores. Three of them were holding guns, and they just started firing at everybody and anybody. Some of this to you live earlier. Then what happened? Apparently a car full of some young black kids pulled up on the other side and they started shooting back. You're going to start to see what they noticed what was going on. They started shooting back and we were right in the middle of it. It all happened so quickly. To tell you the truth, I thought they were blanks at first. I couldn't believe that these guys had actually pulled out loaded guns, but they were. Their bullets flying all over. And here you can see, this is where they see the cars pull up and they start to shoot back. They start to take cover, realizing, I think, what they had started there, but there's just a simmering point, and they boiled over. I saw it happen. I was talking to the gentleman. I saw it in his eyes. He ran away from me. I thought he was going to give me his business card. I had asked for an interview. Next thing I knew, as I say, he came out with those guns.
This is Magnus Hirschfeld, the first man to use the term transgender and the leading homosexual advocate of the 19th century, who argued homosexuality was an inborn and natural form of human sexuality that ought to be embraced. In 1919, he opened the Institute for Sexual Science, dedicated to campaigning for the spreading of pornography into schools and broadcasting homosexual propaganda films in Germany, highlighting cross-dressing and drag culture. Hirschfeld also was the first operator of sex change operations, brutally mutilating mentally ill patients and adding their genitalia to his personal collection of penis-enclosed jars around the world. In 1921, Hirschfeld teamed up with the most prominent and successful rabbis in Germany, including mega patriarch